Kashmir has become a name synonymous with incessant tensions and sporadic bouts of violence, as proven once again by the killing of Indian soldiers in the Indian-administered part of that region. In this edition of the debate, we'll address not only today's violence, but the macro issues that stand as obstacles in the way of peace and the lack of political will on both the Pakistani and Indian side for a resolution of the Kashmir issue once and for all.
Security is tight in Indian-controlled Kashmir after fighters launched an attack on a strongly fortified army barracks northwest of Srinagar, close to the line of control near Pakistan.
In Uri, about 3:30 in the morning, six terrorists stormed into an army camp and started firing. Army and police reached the spot and together fought in the gun battles in which all six terrorists were neutralized. Three policemen and eight army soldiers were also killed.
Two fighters were later killed at a checkpoint in Srinagar, and a civilian lost his life in a grenade blast in Tral, southern Kashmir. Some sources put civilian deaths at two. India has blamed Pakistan for supporting and aiding pro-independence fighters in Kashmir. Pakistan vehemently denies the accusations. New Delhi has also slammed Islamabad for allowing Hafiz Saeed, the head of Jamaat-ud-Dawah, to hold a rally in support of an independent Kashmir.
Nawaz Sharif, I will tell you the order of Allah. If Modi is not ready for dialogue on Kashmir and the United Nations resolutions, then he go and help the freedom fighters. It is the simple and the straight way to resolve it.
Indian-controlled Kashmir is currently holding the third of five-stage state elections, which have been boycotted by pro-independence groups. Many pro-independence leaders are also under house arrest. They've asked the Indian government to hold talks with Pakistan and residents of Kashmir in order to resolve the 67-year-old conflict. India and Pakistan both lay claim on Kashmir and have fought twice over the mountainous Himalayan valley. It is believed that more than 68,000 people have died since an uprising began in the region against New Delhi in the 1980s. India's military crackdown in Kashmir has already turned the decade-long conflict to a bleeding wound. It seems that nothing can stop the violence but a genuine dialogue to resolve the issue. New Delhi has so far refused to hear the Kashmiri people's cries for independence. And it is unclear whether Nationalist Prime Minister Narendra Modi will ever listen to Kashmiri people when he attends a campaign rally in Kashmir next week to garner support for his Hindu Bharatiya Janata Party.
Well, let's introduce our guests for this edition of the debate. We're joined by Strategic Affairs Analyst Mr. Sayyed Tariq Pirzada, who is joining us live from Islamabad. And we're also joined by Mr. Chitrapu Uday Bhaskar, who is part of the Society for Policy Studies. And he is joining us live now from New Delhi. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us here on Press TV's The Debate. Mr. Pirzada, I'd like to start with you, if I may. You know, recent violence along the line of control has been some of the worst in a decade, including today's killings of Indian soldiers. The Indian Union Home Minister has said that this occurs because of militant infiltration from Pakistan. Now, as the minister asked, I too will ask you, is Pakistan not answerable for this?
Absolutely not. And the reason is this, that the insurgency inside Kashmir is a homegrown insurgency. And because the Kashmiris are being denied the right to self-determination, and it's been more than 67 years that they always blame Pakistan. Remember, just recently, as you pointed out in the course of your comments, the Indian government, led by an extremist, Hindu Mr. Modi, the Prime Minister of India, used very heavy artillery bombing for weeks after weeks on the line of control and the international border. So actually, they have done the best that they could do to stop the insurgency in Kashmir. And this is a freedom fight. The people of Kashmir have a right to live as a free people under the UN resolutions of 1948 and 49, which is called the right to self-determination. The Indians are denying it, so the Kashmiris are struggling very hard. There is no infiltration from Pakistani side. Pakistan is busy fighting its own war against terror in the tribal areas Our 140,000 troops are busy over there. We don't have the luxury of engaging into this kind of nonsense.
Mr. Bhaskar, I wanted to get you in on this and ask you, of course, for a reaction to what Mr. Pirzada there said. I also wanted to ask you, you know, the Jammu and Kashmir chief minister said today's attack on the Indian Army camp was, quote, a desperate attempt to disrupt the peace and normalcy of the region. Now, I'm wondering, was there ever really peace and normalcy in Indian-administered Kashmir to begin with?
The short answer is yes. The state of Jammu and Kashmir has had long periods of peace and stability, which alas have been disrupted by this determined attempt from across the border to create this kind of violence. And this has been going on for the last 24 years. The spike in violence that has its linkages with across the border in Pakistan goes back to May 1990. And I'm afraid the characterization that has been offered by your guest from Pakistan is counterfactual, because the suggestion that this is an insurgency and that today's attack on the army camp in a place called Uri in Jammu and Kashmir is a very, very well-planned attack by a group that is clearly very well-trained. And I think the political context to the violence of today is the fact that the state of Jammu and Kashmir is going through its state-level elections, and the voter turnout has been a very robust 70% plus. The elections, just for the sake of clarifying, are being held in five phases. Two phases have been concluded, and the third phase is on the 9th of December. And clearly, if there was anything like an insurgency or what your Pakistani guest is suggesting, there would not have been this kind of a turnout in a state-level election. So I'm afraid the strongly held view in India is that there are elements and constituencies in Pakistan that are determined to disrupt the election and to create this kind of violence, which is why we saw the kind of attack that has been witnessed from 3 a.m. this morning on Friday.
Okay, Mr. Bhaskar, let me put that point then about the elections to Mr. Pirzada then. Mr. Pirzada, how do you feel about this talk of the elections and the fact that there has been, I believe, for the first two phases, the turnout has been approximately 70%?
Well, the Indian side always makes a claim that 70% people have voted, 60%